I want to preach for a little while tonight, and if you turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, just there in the Old Testament, a few books in, Numbers chapter number 27, I want to talk about Joshua getting appointed or getting promoted and give some principles from the Scripture about how we get promoted, what God's looking for. Sometimes we mistakenly think that a flashy outlook or a flashy personality or something of that nature is what's needed for God to pick somebody up and use them. Got a book back in my office. I'm partway through, written by Dallas Billington. It's basically an autobiography about how God had used him. Come up from Kentucky, went up to the Akron, Ohio area and started a church, and it grew to thousands at one time. It was the largest church in America and started from nothing up there. And God just took somebody from coal country and took him and used him in such a way. It's not always the people that we think that will get promoted. But as we look at this, I want to draw some principles out of here and trust it'll be a blessing to us. Moses says in verse number 15 of Numbers 27, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation." Because what we didn't read, but in verse 12, 13, 14 up there, Moses is being set aside because of some things that he had not followed the Lord completely in. And so God said that he wouldn't get to lead the people in. Verse 15, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them and which may go in before them, which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. And set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him that all the congregation, the children of Israel, may be obedient." It's not my message, but would you look there just for a moment in verse number 20. And it says here that God speaking to Moses, and he said, you're going to put some of your honor upon him. So basically what he was going to be doing is putting a little bit of his equity, meaning what the people trusted Moses, and they trust him a lot. And God said, I want you to take some of that and put it on Joshua. I want you to put your hand of blessing, so to speak, on him, because I'm going to need him after you're gone. And when you're gone, I want him to take the reins and go do great things. So I'd like for you to lend some of your influence. And that's not the message, but it'd be a great thing for us to do, to find people who are coming after us and help them instead of hurting them. Sometimes we challenge people and say, well, if you get anywhere, you're going to have to do it the same way I did, the hard way. Can I tell you this, that most of us, we had a lot of help, a lot more than we want to admit. And even if you don't think you have much physical help, you can't look back. Can I just tell you that if you're one of those people that says, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps, I can tell you exactly where you were when God found you. You were in the muck and the mire, because God says he had to pick you up out of that miry clay, and he's the one that set your feet on the solid rock. He's the one that established your going, not because you decided that I'm going to make something of myself. All of us have had a lot of help. So that's just a thought. That's not the message. Verse number 21, "And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest." This is speaking again about Joshua. He's going to stand before him, "who shall ask counsel for him against the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation." So that's what God tells Moses to do. Get this person. Verse 22, "And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses." I want to preach for a little while about who gets promoted, because if you would, you don't have to look back very far, but you'll see there in verse 12, as I mentioned in 13, Moses is going to be put on the shelf. He's going to be put off to the side, and he's going to be put over there in the land that God's given to the children of Israel. Moses is not going to go into there. "When you've seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people," verse number 13, "as Aaron thy brother was gathered." But God's going to find the replacement. He already knows who it is, but he's going to put the replacement for Moses, this meek man, this greatest leader, this overseer par excellence, so to speak. He was just something, but he's not going to go in, and God's going to set up Joshua. And I want to look at a few principles that we find here that trust to be a blessing to you. My pastor, who just retired this past year, He came to be the pastor of Franklin Road Baptist Church in Middle Tennessee in 1999, was the co-pastor for a year, and then became pastor in January of 2000. But before all that happened, he had preached a revival down there for the church, and he didn't know it, but they knew it. They were looking at him to see if maybe this would be the person, because the pastor was not going anywhere, but he was retiring, and so he was going to become the pastor emeritus, and my brother-in-law would eventually become pastor. So they flew, one of the deacons had his pilot's license and flew, had a plane as well. They flew up there and met him at Charleston Airport and wanted to talk to Pastor Norris about this and about the ministry. And they wanted to know how he would administrate and how he might handle this and how he might handle some building programs that they might need to go in, all that stuff. But those were the small items. What they really wanted to know was how would he have a pastor's heart, and would he pray, and would he preach, and would he help the people, and would he weep with them, would he love them, would he want, they want to see if he was the kind of man that would be the pastor of this church. And obviously God put them together. That's been 26 years ago now, and he's been the pastor for all these years until this last March. But they were looking to see if he was the type of person that they were going to want to be their pastor, and then they overwhelmingly voted him in. But tonight I want to look at this man, Joshua, and see how it was that Joshua got promoted to be the man that was going to lead these people into where God wanted them to go and wanted to lead them forward in that victorious Christian living, into where they were destined to go. They were promised to go, but they needed a leader. And so I want to look at a few things and draw about 3 points here, and trust it'll be a blessing. If you look back in verse number 17, we're going to see first, we're going to find somebody who serves faithfully. Let the Lord, verse 16, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, Moses speaking. He says, which may go out before them. That just means they go out and live, and they may go, which may go in before them, which may lead them out. And so that going out and going in, that's just really doing their daily business, having things that they are involved in. They're administering different things, and they're handling problems and handling people and going in and going out, just like we would do on a regular basis. You've got to do this and you've got to do the other. How does that person handle those things? And so we find that first of all, God is going to use somebody that serves him faithfully. Joshua did this on a continual basis. He was that one that went out and went in. The Bible is very clear that the faithfulness of Joshua was what God said, I'm going to use him in that way. You remember that this wasn't the first time that he was faithful to follow the Lord. Joshua and Caleb, they were the ones that went into the land and came back with a good report. Why is that? Because they believed what God had said, and God said you can take the land, and Joshua was just foolish enough to believe God. I say foolish as a joke. He was just smart enough. He was trusting enough to serve God. And so we see that we're going to see someone promoted that serves faithfully. They've said before that the greatest ability is dependability. Or some people say availability, but if you're going to be dependable, you got to be available to begin with. So they both would fit. George Washington, I'm told, had asked somebody to bring some horses, and he needed it for the mounts as he was leading the army, and he was supposed to look at some horses at 5 a.m. The man that did bring the horses arrived about 5:15. As the story goes, it was 5:15 in the morning, still very dark, but at 5:15, a stable hand told the person that had the horses there, he said the general was here at 5, but he had to move on, and he won't be back through here for another week. And he missed it because he wasn't available. I'm also told that on a trip around there, that Washington's secretary, one of the secretaries of some part of his administration, was late to a meeting, and he blamed his watch. Washington said, then you must get a new watch, or I a new secretary. The greatest ability is availability, dependability. And I say all those things to tell you that what God and Joshua, if they were having a board meeting, and I don't know that you put it like that, but they were speaking back and forth, and Joshua said, Lord, please set somebody up that the spirit, that the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. And Joshua is that man that God brings forward. And Moses says, let this person that goes out and goes in, and he can lead the congregation of the Lord, be not as the sheep which have no shepherd. That phrase going out and going in. One commentator said it like this. It was borrowing from the idea of a shepherd. And back in those days, we wouldn't drive them, but those shepherds in that day would have led their sheep oftentimes. And pretty much what it's saying is, I want that person that's going to go in and come out before the Lord and before the people, much like a shepherd does before the sheep, and so that he can lead them by example. You know, it's a wonderful thing when a dad and a mom not only demand that their children do something, but that they model that they want their children to do as well. Because it seems like pretty hollow words when dad or mom says, do as I say, not as I do. But when they say, do as I say and follow me, then it's a whole lot more powerful. Joshua went in and out before the Lord faithfully, and that's what made him worthy of this promotion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we live in a day where people are flashy, and we live in a day where people want to be the brightest and the biggest, and they want to be the most spectacular, maybe of American Idol or America's Got Talent or one of these TV shows, but people are oftentimes looking for the wow factor, but instead, as one person put it, God's looking for the plow factor. You say, what plow? I mean, just plowing ahead. Just plowing ahead, not with speed, not with grandeur, but with dedication. And I can tell you what's needed in your life and in my life more than some sparklers or fireworks going off. Instead, it's consistency. And the Bible says that he was looking for one that served faithfully. My pastor, we had a great Sunday school teacher, one of the Sunday school teachers of an adult class, did a great job teaching, but there were some things in his life that he wasn't as consistent as he should have been. And my pastor / brother-in-law had to talk to him about some of those things. Said, listen, brother, we need to come along in all of these things because, again, faithfulness, it means so much. But once you look down in verse number 18, not only one that's faithful, but we're also going to see the characteristic of Joshua was that he was filled with the Spirit. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. One that's filled with the Spirit. God wants to lift those people up who are those that are yielded to him. And I'm afraid that sometimes the lives that we live in churches, we have a structure of what's supposed to go on, and this person does this and this person does the other, but we lack the power of God. And I don't know how to explain all that, except it's wonderful when God moves in, because I've been in services. I preach in this church every week, and I'm blessed to get to do it. But we've had services where everything was good and all was well. But then we've had some services where it just seemed everything was wonderful, and the Lord just seemed to dwell so close to us. And it's just an extra work of the Lord. You say, Pastor, why don't you do that every time? That's a good question. But Moses is told by God, says, I want this person that's filled with the Spirit. You go around to the department store of your choice, whichever one it is, Macy, Kohl's, Penny, it doesn't matter, where any of them you want to go to, and you'll see these little plastic people. These guys on there, and it's amazing. All those guys that are on those mannequins up there, they've got those shirts there. They're on there. I thought, man, that thing's tight. And then I looked around the back. They had all safety pinned. It stuck that guy right in the back. I tell you, sad for that little fella. But they had those shirts on there. There's just a little hollow mannequin of a guy. Never anybody's going to ask that guy on a date. Number one, he don't have any money. He's not got very much for personality. Now, granted, ladies, he never talks back. That would be good, wouldn't it? Nobody's ever going to ask him out. Nobody's ever going to ask for his hand in marriage. Neither are they going to go to the ladies' section, find one of those mannequins, and ask them for a date either. They're just a shell, empty, cold, and useless. They're good for the one thing, to hang clothes on. That's a mannequin. They're doing their job. But that's not what us as Christians are supposed to be. We're not supposed to be empty and cold and lifeless and heartless and not give help to anybody. We're supposed to be warm and helpful. We're supposed to be not a shell of a person who's cold and unable to help and be a display. We're not supposed to be on display. We're supposed to be down in the trenches and finding people. And I hope that this week that you let yourself be that person, not the mannequin that's an example of somehow fit some body is supposed to be, but instead you'll find yourself calling and texting and stopping by and helping people and visiting people, because people don't need somebody who's the shell of a model. Instead, they need somebody who's Spirit-filled to come alongside of them and walk with them through the dark valley and to help them and to strengthen them and to come along and be a friend. You say, Pastor, I don't know what to do when I get there. You don't have to do much when you get there. Most of the time, all you have to do is just get there. We've been to the Niagara Falls, and we were both on the American side and the Canadian side. We got pictures of our kids straddling where the line is in both American and Canada. I'm told that in 1969, before I was born, but the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers shut off the water on the American Falls. It diverted all the way over to the other one. And they did that so that they could assess some damage and some cracks and some different things. They had to do some repairs and different things. And you know, when that was happening, you can look back at old pictures of it off of there. It's not much of a look. It's not much of a sight to look at. Kind of interesting, I guess. They found a lot of stuff down in there. Found a couple bodies, unfortunately, but found some stuff down in there. But not very much to look at, because the beauty of those falls is not by the rocks at the bottom, and it's not by the bed of those falls. The beauty of those falls is when that water is just rushing over there. That's what draws millions of people to come and look at that beautiful sight. It's that power that comes over. And I can tell you this, in that some small way, what's going to draw people to you, and what's going to draw people to me, and what's going to draw people to the church here and in your life, and what you're going to be able to be a help to people, is when they see the power of God work through you as that water comes over that waterfall. When the power of God works through you and you're able to help somebody at the time of their loss, maybe at the funeral of their loved one, and you're able to be there for them, and the power of God is used in your life, your power is not in your ability or your form or your persuasion, but instead it's God working in and through you. And that's what God was looking for in Joshua. He said, I'm looking for that person. He's a man in whom the Spirit is. And he said, Moses, I want you to take and put your hand on him. I want to give you this last one before we leave tonight. Look down at verse number 21. As he's still explaining who he is, he's looking for Joshua. But thirdly, we're going to see one that listens to wise counsel. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. And he's going to go to the priest, and he's going to ask the priest, what would God have us do in this case? You understand that Saul got into some problems back in his issue, when Saul sometime is going to find himself just trying to do what he wants to do instead of seeking the Lord. Well, Moses is told by God to see Joshua, and I want to see him stand before the priest that will ask counsel, and he'll listen to wise counsel. And as Joshua, the future leader, is getting his position, he's getting counsel of how he's supposed to proceed. Proverbs chapter 11 says this, in the multitude of counsel, there's safety. We need to be careful about exiling ourselves to where we're the only person that we listen to. You know, it gets to be a dangerous spot when you won't listen to anybody. Now, remember this, there are some people you shouldn't listen to. You find somebody who's lost 14 fortunes, don't go ask them what you should do with the investment of your money. Ask somebody else who's made a lot of it. Yes, we do need advice, but there are some people we don't need advice from. But you are in a dangerous spot when you get into your life and you think that you're the only one that can figure out what you're supposed to do. Often we don't want to open up and let our plan be known by people, but because we're afraid that they'll change it. But my friend, if they're a godly counselor, if they're somebody that God's put in your way, then maybe that does need to be changed. I tell my wife that in the next few years, our life will change greatly. And probably, I preached this morning about the coming of the Lord, and that's what I I hope that happens before anybody else that I love goes to heaven. I'm waiting for us all to go up on the big load. But if that doesn't happen, then chances are my dad will be in heaven and her dad will be in heaven. And I told you just a little bit ago, my pastor retired, so he still helps me, but he's not in that same position that he was. And so our life has changed greatly. But I hope I never get to a place where I think that I can't reach out to people and ask them. I've got folks in this church that I ask on a regular basis, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I've got people outside the church, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? I challenge you not to be that one know-it-all. Because I know this one thing about that know-it-all. He don't know all he thinks he knows. Because God's put a lot of people around you that can help. And so we find that Moses is going to put his hand on Joshua as God tells him to do. And one of the criteria that is impressive about Joshua is that he'll listen, in this case, listen to the priest as he seeks the Lord about what the next move should and could be. You remember in 1 Kings chapter 12, Rehoboam? He forsook the counsel of the old men, because that didn't sound anything appealing to him. Split the nation. Somebody who accepts wise counsel will be easy to work with. Now, it may not be that you always need to take the counsel of somebody, because it does come to a place where you have to gather all the facts and really great people you admire. And this has happened to me multiple times. I've got one person that is a hero of mine. He says, this is what you need to do. Another person says, this is what you need to do. I said, well, you two don't agree. But it's never those big issues that are a Bible issue. Sometimes you just have to take both of those and then pray and seek the Lord, of course. But Joshua was one that listened to wise counsel. So in this passage, we see these characteristics. He served faithfully. He was busy about the Lord's work. That's who God lifted up. We see also he was filled with the Spirit. And cost anything to be filled with the Spirit as far as financially. But we ought to desire to be used of the Lord in that way. And they didn't have an arrogant, overbearing spirit that thought they knew it all. This Joshua is who God chose to exalt and let him lead the people of God. And I trust that tonight you've learned, like I've learned, some great traits that we can apply in our lives. One last thing tonight before we close. I don't know everybody in the room tonight. I don't know anybody's heart, because you and the Lord are the only ones that know that. I didn't preach specifically to you if you're not a believer. The message I just gave fits best to people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But perhaps tonight you've been struggling with some things in your life, and there's been a gnawing on the inside of you, and you don't have the confidence that if something were to happen to you and you would pass, that heaven would be where you'd go. My friend, this church can't get anybody to heaven, but this church can tell anybody how to get to heaven. And the message this church gives is that Jesus Christ is the only one who would save anyone who would call on his name for the forgiveness of their sins. And so if you've come in this house tonight, not certain that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, you're in the best place on earth that I know you could be, because there are people, I'm going to ask them right now to start. There are people right now that I'm asking to pray for you, that you, God would give you the courage to just receive his Son as your Savior. If you're here not sure that you're saved, in just a moment I'm going to ask you to step out and come. Let me or Daniel or somebody take a Bible and show you how to be sure you're saved. So that's part of the invitation. The other part of the invitation is to those that are saved. We learned some characteristics, some traits of Joshua that made him fit for the position that God had opened up, because Moses was going to be put off to the side. And I trust that God has worked in our heart to show us how we could be like Joshua in the biblical characteristics that God blessed him because of. Father, I pray that you bless each of us. Now, as we pray before you tonight, dear Lord, I pray that you would do a great work in our lives and in our hearts, and I pray that we would be those Christians, dear Lord, that like Joshua, we find ourselves being filled with your Spirit, we serve faithfully, But we're not a conceited, arrogant know-it-all either. And Lord, I pray that if you've worked on our hearts, I pray that we would be faithful to listen to you and respond accordingly. And if there's one or a few that aren't saved tonight, dear Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night they would receive Christ as their Savior. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as the ladies begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Would you say the description that I just gave of Joshua would also describe you? Or are there some areas that you need to work on? If there are, I invite you, my friend, to come. Give those areas to the Lord. Ask Him to help you in those. Would you come tonight? Maybe you're here tonight. Some struggles have been going on in your life. Wouldn't you just give them to God? Maybe it has nothing to do with what I just preached about, but the Holy Spirit of God, He got your number. Would you come and give it to Him tonight? Brother Daniel, standing right here in front of the pulpit. Maybe you're here, you're not sure that you're saved. Would you step out and come? Let Daniel or myself or someone take a Bible and show you how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven. Do you know the Lord tonight? Thank you so much. You may look this way. And I'm going to ask you, if you've got a few minutes to sit back down, I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall to come up to the pulpit here. Brother Rick, you can just use this mic right here. And we're going to call a business meeting to order. I've got a couple of mission items.